We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here. This is Ask Greg, where we answer your Penn State football questions, recruiting questions. There's a bunch of really good ones this week. This segment brought to you, as always, by tailgatewine.com. If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that Penn State fan in your life, you got to check out tailgatewine.com, the blue and white wine gift box. They also have some wine and barbecue packages with sauces and rubs. You can check everything out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. The best question, as deemed by Greg Pickle today, will be rewarded with a bottle of wine from tailgatewine.com. So if that's not an incentive to download the Keystone Sports app, if you don't have it already, go click the Ask Greg button. Fire off your question. If we get to it and Greg likes it, then you got yourself a shot to get a bottle of wine. So let's start, Greg, with this is an interesting question from Randy from Warren, PA. If you were to take the offense and defense and swap sides with the projected depth chart, who would the one player on both sides that would thrive and at what position? So you're looking at one offensive player to play defense, one defensive player to play offense.
Wow.
I like it.
I do too.
There were some off-the-beaten-path questions last week that you liked, and yeah. I think that maybe Randy was inspired by that.
I think that might be the case. Huh. That is a really interesting question.
The answer is, by the way, C.J. Thorpe.
Well, I was going to say that.
To both questions.
Yeah, that's...
Both questions.
I was going to say that, but that's too easy. Okay, so I'm going to go with Jonathan Holland at defensive end because there was a chance he was going to be a defensive end when he got to Penn State. In fact, we had a lot of talks about that back in the day. Oh, so yeah. I would pick him as the offensive player to move over to the other side of the ball. On defense, that is a really interesting question. How about Lamont Wade at – well, yeah, that'd be a good one too, Jim. Micah Parsons at running back. That's too easy though. It's a layup. I think the one to go with, though, Michael Parsons would be easy. C.J. Thorpe would be easy. I'm going to go with Lamont Wade as a defensive player that could play offense. We saw him do all kinds of tremendous stuff in high school on both sides of the ball. So Lamont Wade and John Holland, that is an interesting question. You know, we always get one that I don't see coming. That might be this one for the week.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming either. I really like the either Lamont Wade or Micah Parsons because they both had so much success as running backs in high school. I would love – I don't care if it's easy. To see Micah Parsons at 240 pounds running the football would be something that I would just enjoy thoroughly. I also like the idea – you know, John Patrician was such a diverse athlete in high school. To see him move over – and play wide receiver or something would also be fun for me, assuming he's healthy. So I really like that. I like the off the beaten path. If that's inspiration, get some other different types of questions in there. The one that last week that I really liked was if James Franklin wasn't a coach, what would he be doing? And I appreciated being able to think about it in those terms. So Steve from Arlington, last week's winner, by the way, given the depth at running back, do you think they'll use more offensive formations with two running backs at the same time? I've heard that too. I'm curious your take on that.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't think Penn State's ever had an issue with not having enough running backs to put two on the field at a time. They just haven't done it. And I don't know why. It'd be a good question for Ricky Ronnie and Jawan Sider whenever they're available, if they're available this spring. But, I mean, I don't know. I understand Penn State has a lot of depth, and to me, you can look at two running backs one of two ways. You can look at it as they'll have two running backs on the field at the same time. I don't know if we'll see an increase in that. Are we going to see an increase in the number of carries for the non-starting running backs? Yes, I think that's absolutely 100% going to be the case.
Yeah, I would agree with both of those things completely. Steven from Columbus, Ohio, if you had to pick – not including recruiting because we know James Franklin's very good at that. But what are Franklin's greatest coaching strengths and what are his weaknesses? Big fan of the show, and because of you guys, I got my bowling team full of Buckeye fans drinking blue and white, which makes me internally happy. So
nice.
His bowling team, they're bleeding scarlet and gray,
right?
But they're drinking blue and light.
Whatever it takes, right? I guess. Yeah.
So but James Franklin's biggest strength, his biggest weakness as a head coach, not including recruiting.
Yeah, I would say his biggest strength is the organization and ability to keep things. I mean, I think we take for granted how much a head coach of a major college football program has to deal with. I mean, it is just outrageous, the stuff you wouldn't even think of that comes across his desk. And he's tremendous at all that stuff and has a very good support staff in place. So that would be, I think, the strength that comes immediately to mind. And I think, you know, the weakness is probably the game day coaching still. Yeah. And I think he's improved in a lot of areas related to that. But there's still sometimes you sit there and you just wonder what's going on down there? What are they doing? So I think those are probably the two I would pick.
I think it's hard to disagree with the weakness part of it. And you've seen it again and again and again. And I think it's come up for me. You know, I'm always thinking about it. If a coach struggles in the heat of the moment, you know, back against the wall kind of decision-making time for a head coach, when your 50-page outline for how you think the game's going to go comes down to one single second in a game, I always wonder if that's not an inherent strength of a coach. Can it become one later? Right. Can you fix that weakness? I tend to lean more towards only to a certain extent. You either have that instinct or you don't. And I think the worry sometimes is that James Franklin doesn't really have that instinct. And yeah. So late game clock management type things, it might always be a situation that yields one or two kind of head scratchers each year. So I think it's hard to disagree with that. But yeah, I think organization from a roster management perspective, what your needs are going to be, what your needs in 3 years are going to be. He thinks about everything so thoroughly, almost to not to a fault, but he almost is an overthinker, which plays into the whole game day thing then too.
Right. I think that might be part of it. I lost my train of thought there for a second looking to something else, but I do think that there's a part of it where you can only be as good on the game day as your assistant coaches sometimes.
Yeah.
And I feel like Joe Moorhead was capable in that role. And I don't know if there's still somebody on the staff that was willing to get on the headset with James Franklin at a key moment of the game and say, "Coach, like, everything says to do this. Why are we doing that?" And I think Moorhead was that guy. So I just wonder about that sometimes. And I wonder if the addition of Joe Lohrig might help in that regard. I mean, I know that Lohrig doesn't have necessarily – he hasn't risen to the top of the totem pole as James Franklin has, but they've known each other for so long, you just wonder if he'll be able to make that role.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, your Penn State football and recruiting questions, brought to you by tailgatewine.com. We're giving away a bottle of tailgate wine for whoever asked the best question. Steve from Chicago, I wanted to get this one out there. Greg, what is wrong with Christian Hackenberg? I used to feel sorry for him, but watching him play and be benched in the AAF reminds me of the struggles he had at Penn State. He still has the same issues from 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just think that sometimes we all have ceilings for how much we can better ourselves in particular areas. And it looks to me like he's either hit his ceiling or he's unable to overcome the roadblocks that are not allowing him to get higher up in terms of his ability as a quarterback at the professional level. I don't know how else to put it or say it. I mean, it's not as if Memphis didn't give him a chance. I know that team is bad, and I know that they have some, you know, offensive line issues and they don't have the greatest receivers and all this stuff, but I mean, I think the limited success of Zach Mettenberger tells you that there's at least something to work with there, and that Hackenberg, you know, was getting a fair share of the blame along with the other guys on the team. So I don't know what the answer is there, but I can't imagine he's still playing pro football this time next year.
I think the same thing, and I feel the same way that Steve does. You know, you want to have – you know, you're never rooting for failure for anybody, no, especially when that person comes from your own college football program. But – the lesson for me with Hackenberg, and I guess I kind of thought it, but the lesson for me is that I think to a certain extent as a quarterback, you're either accurate or you're not. You're either able to make that range of throws and put the ball where it needs to go or you're not. I think having the right frame, having the durability, having the big arm – He's not the first of those types of prospects to flame out. He will not be the last of those prospects to flame out.
Right.
The NFL, I think, is slowly but surely becoming less enamored with that type of prospect. But I also think that his completion percentage was definitely symptomatic of something that was just going to only be exaggerated whenever the windows got tighter, the rush got to you faster, your decision-making had to be faster. I think it's just kind of exposed Hackenberg and just some fundamental weaknesses that it's hard to fix whenever you're going to get playing against the best of the best. And
right.
then, you know, you to see it continue at the AAF level is just more confirmation. Let's see. One more question, maybe two. I wanted to get this one out there. Steve from Chicago. Same Steve from Chicago, so we'll have to keep that in mind. How do player rating services earn money? Do they make money from the camps they host? Are they funded in any way by the NCAA or colleges? Appears to be a lot of work to keep up with all the recruits, so I imagine they need quite a few staff to do this. Thanks and keep up the great work. So looking at rating services, I would imagine Rivals, 247,
yeah.
Those types is who he means.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. Well, so I mean, the thing regarding all these services, and we've talked about this from time to time before, is that when you look at the rankings and how guys get rated, it's like the majority of the people live in major metropolitan areas, right? So Jersey or Atlanta or Dallas or Florida or California. So, you know, states that are smaller don't always have the same representation that bigger states have. And because of that, I think that sometimes guys get overlooked. But in terms of those networks, yeah, I mean, they have guys all over the country. They have individual team sites that help rank guys. You know, some of the folks that work for the Penn State site also, you know, they don't rank Pennsylvania players or anything like that, but they help with updates and getting camp evaluations and things like that. So it really is a team effort through and through. There's no question about that. And I think that, you know, that obviously it takes a big cast to get all the stuff done that fans want, but they obviously do a pretty good job because a lot of people pay to read it each month.
One more question, just Mike from Reading. Did not see a wait listing updated for Zach Kuntz in the spring update. Do you have any added intelligence from what I saw released? Is this worrying, and what weight would be ideal for him when August comes around? The weight is at 236. Is he saying that weight has not changed since last year?
It sounds like he's saying that. I would be willing to bet that it's probably changed. It's probably changed a little bit. I mean, I think that obviously
Jim's saying his weight wasn't listed at all, but now.
I see. Well, he was 235 on signing day last year,
so he's gained a pound. That's wholly encouraging.
I wish I could do that, man. A whole year and just gain a pound. I would take it. Hey, look, I think obviously we knew it was going to take time for him to put weight on. That process will continue as Pat Freiermuth gets the lion's share of the reps at tight end.
Who do you got for winning question this week?
I like Randy's question about offense and defense. I think opener.
Yeah, I think the lesson here is ask a unique question and you will get a bottle of wine. So there you go, Randy from Warren, PA. Low shipping costs as well, so that's an added bonus. You'll be getting a bottle of tailgate wine. Thanks, everybody, for your questions. Thanks for tuning in this week. Be sure to check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and the Keystone Sports app.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.